Please find your place in Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, we have a duet from a couple of young ladies who sang during the Pilots Convention, and they placed first, amen, in this event. So we're going to hear from them tonight. Then we'll be in Proverbs 3. What they didn't tell us, there was only one entry in the thing that they were a part of, and they won first place. Amen. No, I'm teasing. How many entries in that, Brother Bragg, do you remember? Oh, you've slept a little bit since Pilots, you forget. All right, we have a handout tonight, and it's coming your way quickly as possible. If we could have more men involved, it would go a lot faster. Okay, fellas, thank you. And just jump up and help if you're sitting where you can help. That would be wonderful and would greatly expedite the process. I have the date of March the 23rd on this lesson. However, I know that that night Brian Heath spoke in our service because that's the night that I was all stuffed up in my head from the plane flight back from North Carolina and a sinus infection. And then the next week, Brother Caleb was here for Pilots. Last Wednesday night, Brother Don spoke and when he was here for the wedding. And so we will pick up where we left off back on March the 16th. We finished in chapter 2. And actually, chapter 3, verse number 2 and 3, verse number 3, where he talked about, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." And we taught about that living wisely principle there in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. I have two principles for you tonight and two honorable mentions that I won't teach. I'll just mention them and we'll be done with chapter 3 and moving on in the weeks ahead. Of course, next Wednesday night, We'll have guest speakers at the as the conference is concluded. Everybody get a handout that wants one. I see a hand over here, Brother Bragg's daughter. Anybody else? Brother Tom, right there. Brother Bragg, there you go. Thank you. All right, let's pray together. Father, help us tonight. Thank you so far for the good service, for our brother's presentation and the burden of his heart and your call upon their life. I pray that you'll bless them. Thank you for the good special, the time of prayer together that just always blesses my heart. And now the opportunity to look into your word for a few minutes. I pray that you'll help us tonight. Help me, I pray, and give us all listening ears and speak to our hearts as we need it in Christ's name. And amen. Living wisely, principle number 8, we're going to find in verses 5 and 6. Familiar verses for us. You could probably quote them from memory. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Principle number 8, the wise learn to continually lean upon God. The wise learn to continually lean upon God. Now, we're funny creatures, we people, us folks. We have an all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present God who is waiting and willing to lead us through every situation we face. And yet, too often, we choose to go at life by ourselves. Now, one little saying that is common to young children is, "Let me do it." Let me do it. I'm sure every parent has heard that on more than one occasion from your child. Let me do it. This ought to cause us to take notice because of this reason. Young children have not developed in their thought processes to the place of thinking about their image and their reputation. A child has no pretense, no image control mechanism because they haven't developed that much. But by the time we are teenage and beyond, we take much thought and we are careful when it comes to our reputation. We've learned how to mask our sinful selfish tendencies. We are discreet about our selfish desires. And we still want to do it ourselves, but we would never say it. We'd never say it. But our nature is clearly expressed in the words of our childhood. Even a child is known by his doings. Let me do it. Those attitudes point to a nature that is self-dependent. Let me do it is an attitude that we're going to have to crucify if we are going to live wisely. So I'm going to take these two verses, give you four thoughts from them, then move to our second principle for the night, and we'll be done, unless I get lengthy on the first one. Okay? Look at the instruction in these verses. Here it is. Rely, and I'll let me pull my sheet out, make sure I've caught you up to date so far. Okay, yes. Living wise, principle number 8, the wise learn to continually lean upon God. Rely on the Lord. Okay? Rely on the Lord. There is the number 2. Now, I'm sorry, that's the first thing about verse number 5 and 6 is rely on the Lord. Number 2 on your sheet there. Rely on the Lord. Where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Complete reliance upon Him is necessary to live wisely. And it must be approached wholeheartedly. Okay? With all thine heart is another way of saying wholeheartedly or sincerely. All right? We got to be sincere about this thing of trusting in the Lord. So the Bible says, with all thine heart, sincerely or wholeheartedly. I like to use the process or the thought process of doors because the Bible teaches us that God can open doors that no man can shut, and God shuts doors that no man can open. And in counseling people and advising people from teenagers who are seniors thinking about their future to sometimes men in the church who have to make a decision about their work, vocation, sometimes children, parents, and counseling them about their children and so forth, marriage relationship. I like to use the principle of the doors. Go through the doors as long as God opens them. When you reach a door that doesn't open, that God doesn't open, stop. You know, let God lead wholeheartedly, reliance on the Lord. You know that Tom Thomason is now teaching these concealed carry classes, and I'm glad that he is. And he's doing booking more and more of these as people are trying to get their licenses. And I remember when he started into the whole process. I remember when his job outsourced his department that he was working in there at LaSalle. It was somebody else by that time, yeah. But they outsourced his whole department out to someone else and shut it down. And these men now were without a job. And really, Brother Tom only needed to work about another 2 years, and he was set for retirement. So it's kind of a bummer when you're that close to being retired and you get, you know, your department, your job gets outsourced and you're out of work. That's happened to some of you other men. And so I remember when he began to think about what he could do, and he talked about, you know, he got the FFL, the Federal Firearms License, and he talked about opening a gun range here in Kankakee County, and he started looking at buildings, and he would email, and he would ask for advice. And sometimes I feel a little bit intimidated because I don't know always what to say to men who are looking for advice when it comes to life issues like that. And I think if I'm right, Brother Tom, I just often said to you, go through the doors that God opens. Go through the doors that God opens. And you know, some doors seemed to be open, and Tom started down that road, but then he ran into a door that was shut. I kept saying, don't kick it open. If God shut it, you can't kick it open. You'll get into a mess if you try to. And, you know, this door would shut, and this door would shut, and this door would shut, and then this door would come open. And he eventually got open doors to where now he's had some men pick him up and market his business, and he's got more classes scheduled. And as I look at what God has done for him, I think he's had complete reliance upon the Lord. He has trusted in the Lord with all. I really believe that the emails I received from him were sincere. They were wholehearted. They were not just words. He didn't write to tell me what he was going to do, get my approval, or didn't care if he did get my approval, and I don't need to give approval. He was writing for sincerely seeking advice. And my advice was just trust God and go through the doors that God opens. That's biblical advice. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So rely on the Lord and rely sincerely and wholeheartedly on Him. Then number two out of these verses is reject self-sufficiency. Reject self-sufficiency. The Bible goes on to say in verse 5, and lean not unto thine own understanding. It is so easy to assume self-sufficiency. I believe that's our default. I believe that's our default lean. When God said, lean not unto thine own understanding, that's the way that we naturally lean. We lean to our way of thinking. We lean to our way of logic. We lean to our way of reasoning. I think it's our default lean. My own understanding is a reference to the understanding that is natural to me. It is the product of my own experience, my logic, my reasoning. I want to tell you something, folks. My logic and my reasoning and my thinking can be very faulty. And the Bible warns us about that because our hearts can deceive us. They're wicked and deceitful above all, and you have to be careful. So you have to reject self-sufficiency. When you're making a life decision, things like I think, I feel, I am confident, those are dangerous terms. You need to rely on the Lord, and you need to reject self-sufficiency completely. Reject self-sufficiency. God, I'm looking to You. I am leaning on You. I am relying on You. And I'm not relying on what I think or how this looks to me. Because, folks, it can be so deceiving. The third thing in these verses, in verse number 6, regard Him. Regard Him. So I rely on the Lord, I reject self-sufficiency, and I regard Him. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. So that means in every area of my life, I need to acknowledge God. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge somebody? What does it mean to acknowledge God? If I acknowledge someone, I regard their knowledge, their expertise, their experience, I regard their ability, their talent, and their help. I look to them. I look to them. To regard them or to acknowledge them is to regard them, to look to them. You know, I've used the illustration before. I am so thankful. And when I teach at the college and church education on the subject of building, a church building, I always talk about how God was so gracious to put Dennis Cowson in this church. And to me, this is just another truth, you know, another way where God's Word becomes alive. God puts people in His assembly who have certain talents and abilities for the well-being of the assembly of believers. And when we started that process, man, he was such a help because I never even built as much as a chicken coop. Well, I think I take that back. I think I did build a little bit of a chicken coop in Iowa one time in town. The neighbors really appreciated that, all the roosters crowing at 6 o'clock in the morning, and all the chickens got out of it, so it wasn't well done, I'll tell you that much. It was a poor chicken coop. I've never built a building in my life, and here we're put with this huge process of this building, and we would come in, and you know, Dennis Kalson, now this is the truth, I'm not just saying this, Dennis Kalson never took the lead in those meetings with Jeff Jarvis and Tim Stewart the first time around, with Brian Reiser and Dale Reiser, his dad, the second time around, the second building over there. Dennis never came in and just assumed the lead. He came in and he sat in the meetings. And he was quiet until I acknowledged him, until I regarded him. And we would get into a discussion about this part of the building process, and I would look to Dennis. And I'd look to him, and I'd look to him, and I'd say, brother, I would depend upon his ability, depend upon his expertise, depend upon his experience, depend upon his knowledge. But Dennis never just came in and presumptuously took the lead. And folks, you know, God is the most powerful being in all there ever has been, ever will be. And yet He's not overpowering in the sense of demanding control of our lives. He waits for our invitation. He waits for us to acknowledge Him. All the expertise and all the talent, what adverb can you put in there about our great God? And yet He doesn't strong arm any of us and demand that we do it His way. He's not that presumptuous. He waits for you and me to acknowledge Him. Look to Him. God, I've got a decision to make here. I've got a decision involving this, and a life decision involving this. And by the way, there's a lot of life decisions that come along the road, folks. A lot of them. A lot of them. A lot of life decisions, you know, in the early years of being elementary school children and even teenagers are made for you by your parents. But then you're going to hit the time in life where you have to start making some life decisions for yourself. And God's not going to strong arm you and demand that His way be done. He waits for you to acknowledge Him. He waits for you to look to Him. How do you look to God? How do you acknowledge God? You look to God through Scripture. You'll find God's ways and God's will in the Word of God. You look to God through your spiritual authorities. You know, just because you hit 18 doesn't mean that you no longer need to look to your dad and mom and acknowledge them. Dad's still got a lot of wisdom. And you get beyond 18, there's the other spiritual authorities in your life that you can look to. I am to acknowledge God in all areas of my life. There are no areas of my life in which God is unable to help me. He has the ability, the power, the wisdom to assist me in my marriage, my family, my finances, my business, my personal character, my social life, my future vocation. But I've got to regard Him. I've got to acknowledge Him. I've got to look to Him. I've got to take the initiative to acknowledge God when it comes to life decisions. Because just like Dennis would come into the meeting with all the expertise and all the talent, ability, everything not only in his head but with his hands, he's done it. Taking a building from foundation to finish, he didn't come in and act like King Kalson and Lord Dennis. He came in and sat there until we got into a point of the discussion where I looked to Him and I turned it over, regarded, acknowledged Him. So rely on the Lord, reject self-sufficiency, and then regard Him. Fourthly, this is going to be number 8 on your list here, reap the benefit. Reap the benefit. Number 7, God has the ability, power, and wisdom to assist me in every area of life. Number 6 was to acknowledge someone is to regard them. And then now number 8, reap the benefit. If I will trust in Him with all my heart and lean not, if I'll rely on the Lord and reject self-sufficiency and then regard Him, okay, if I'll acknowledge Him, then I'll reap the benefit. The Bible says, and He shall direct thy paths. So the direct result of relying on God and rejecting self-sufficiency and recognizing Him will cause God or allow God to direct my paths. And people, the Bible is not... a book written just for people in full-time ministry positions. You know, God's leading is not just for a missionary going to the Solomon Islands. Sure, he needs God's leading. Brother Dietrich does. And he's already experienced God's leading, the wonderful things that God has done. Sometimes, occasionally, somebody will say to me, Pastor, you live in a different world than I do. And I understand that if you mean vocation-wise. But I do not live in a different world when it comes to you involving the generic principles of the Bible for our lives. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. And this is not just for those who've been saved for 30 years. This is for folks who've been saved for 3 months. This is for new Christians, old Christians, everybody in between. This is for full-time ministry people. This is for people who work a different vocation altogether. God wants to direct our paths. But He's not going to come and just presumptuously knock us over. He's going to put it right here in the Scripture. This is what you need to do. Here's the recipe if you want God to direct your path. Rely on Him, reject self-sufficiency, and regard Him in every life major decision, and even the minor ones. Regard God and let Him direct thy paths. You know, back in the good old days in America, and you say, define the good old days. I'm talking about the days before car seats and car carriers and all that stuff, when you could put your child in your lap as you drove down the road. Those were the good days in America. And you could put your child in your lap, and your little child would put their hands on the steering wheel, and you'd get it with your knees, fellas, and say, oh, look here, he's driving the car, you know, and boy, you know, sometimes they'd put their hands on the wheel and dad put his hand, I'd put my hands up there. Me do it. Me do it. They ever said that to you? Me do it. That's a nat. You don't have to teach them to say that. It's like mine. Me do it. That's our default nature. That's our natural inclination. Me do it. Now we get older, we don't say it because we learn how to mask that. We wouldn't dare say, I'm going to do it my way. Me do it. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we approach decisions with the me do it attitude. And we end up in trouble. God's given us the recipe right here. Rely on Him. Reject self-sufficiency. Regard Him. And then reap the benefit. Reap the benefit of having God direct your paths. Friend, I hate to say this, but there are some verses in the Bible that are almost too familiar to us. And these are two verses that if we're not careful, we know them so well. We learned them by memory so many years ago and have repeated them over the years in different situations that we got it in our head, but we don't have it in our heart. We don't apply it to our lives. So rely on the Lord, reject self-sufficiency, regard Him, and reap the benefit of God directing your paths. I went longer on this than I thought, which is usually the case. So we will stop right there and pick up next week or 2 weeks from now with number 9. Thank you. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I appreciate you listening tonight. Father, it's been a good service. Thank you for our brother and his wife and their call, commitment to the Solomon Islands. Please bless them. And then, Lord, we look at people like Brother Dietrich and his wife, and we think, oh, that's the people that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are for. But it is for them, but it's also for us. It's for the man who works on the job. It's for the wife at home. It's for the young person approaching the end of high school. Lord, it's for us. The Bible is full of principles that apply to every human being. So would you please help us in this most necessary way of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Help us to rely on you and reject self-sufficiency. That may be the most difficult part right there. To reject self-sufficiency because, Lord, there's in each one of us that natural inclination to do it. Let me do it. Me do it. Help us to regard you, to acknowledge you, God. And then, Lord, thank you for the promise that we'll reap the benefits. And if we'll walk the path you choose for us, it will be a very good life as you've directed. So, Father, we rejoice in this and pray that you'll help us not to just memorize it and be able to say it as a memory verse, but Lord, live it on a daily basis. I pray for young people and folks in the church right now facing life decisions. God, would you help Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to come alive to them? And God, may they rely on you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies, just as this song.